This is Pit of the West, a weird Western podcast written by Tanner Adams and produced by B. Wynn, with main cast voices by Patrick Kilday, Billy Norris, and Matt McCann. Ezra and Schultz were on the steamboat for some time. The pain in Ezra's arm eventually abated, but he was always aware of the bullets lodged in it because of the constant dull heat. The Crakes rarely spoke to them, preferring to play cards among themselves. Schultz, when she was awake, ignored everyone, silently mouthing prayers to herself. Ezra kept himself alert with his anger. Anger at Asmodeus. Anger at the Crakes. And anger in himself for being duped again. He vowed that this, the darkest swamps of Louisiana, would not be his final resting place.
We got much further on this pleasure cruise? Ah!
Clyde Crake jammed his finger into Ezra's wound and twisted it. The pain lit up his arm anew.
Shut it! We're almost there now.
Nauseated, Ezra glanced over the side of the boat and saw a pair of beady eyes watching him. Crocodile swimming in the green swamp water. They passed beneath a huge pair of drooping cypress trees into a thick fog, and Ezra lost track of time.
Here we are, Sunshine, Crake Manor. Enjoy the view while you can, you ain't coming out. If this place is on a map, you bet your ass it'd say, here there be dragons.
As they passed through the fog, the sprawling manor rose from the swamps like a medieval castle. A winding board walkway snaked towards the entrance like the tongue of some terrible beast. Ezra hardened his heart against the wave of fear, realizing that if he died, no one would ever know he was here.
Well, time to meet Father. Get up, Mr. Gray. Get up, bitch nun.
Get your hands off me.
You'll do as I say! Sorry. Real sorry, Miss Bitch Nun. You just make me madder than a wet hen's all. Guess it's just all that righteousness in the face of your death and all. Your god don't have no power here. This here's the dragon's lair.
The two were dragged along the long pathway towards the entrance to the manor. Ezra grit his teeth, but obliged. The cold iron bullet took the strength from his arm. He turned to look at Sister Schultz, whose eyes barely focused. She appeared to be in shock.
Sister, you okay?
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
She's out at sea. Seen it afore. When people know they're a goner, they go into their mines, where no one can reach them. It's just you and us.
I wasn't talking to you, empty-headed varmint.
You're real funny, mister. Should I soften them up again, Rufus?
Our Father wouldn't like that, one bit, no sir. I think Mr. Gray's just skirt. But don't you worry. We'll have a real hog-killing time soon enough. Here we are now. Father, we're home.
The two entered Crake Manor and found Elias Crake and the rest of his brood, over 30 in all, waiting for them. Each bore the family traits, greasy black hair and a vulpine face. The old man sat in a wheelchair, his body twisted into itself, gave them a wry smile. He brought himself closer to them, his right foot slowly dragging him forward. Rufus pulled Ezra's arm and forced him to kneel, face to face with Elias. He smiled widely at Ezra, who could smell Elias's carrion breath.
Welcome to my home, Ezra Gray. And to you, Sister Schultz.
Ezra spit in the face of Elias Craig, who seemed only mildly bemused. Rufus dutifully wiped it from his brow.
Well, that was most inhospitable. Not that I would expect anything less from the man who burnt down Grace Falls.
You know about Grace Falls?
My boy, there is little that happens in these United States I don't hear about. I helped their patriarch set up his claim and keep it safe from prying eyes. I am surprised you spared him. An admirable show of restraint.
Well, I'm all out of restraint. So just tell me, you gonna kill me or what? Cause the longer you wait, the worse it'll be for you. I'll make you answer for your crimes. For all those children, you'll pay in blood. You and your whole twisted family tree.
Many have tried, young man. Now, let's see your arm. The demonic influence hasn't gone as far as Asmodeus thought it would. We can fix that.
Elias reached out with his shriveled arms and carefully placed Ezra's claw around his throat. Even weakened, pain coursing through his arms, Ezra managed to tighten his grip. He could slice open the old man's windpipe with but a squeeze.
There. You want to kill me, don't you, Ezra? I can see the hate boiling inside you. Well, here's your chance. Be done with it.
Daddy, no!
Steady, Clyde. Let him choose. What's more important to you? Redemption or vengeance?
Ezra's grip tightened and blood started to pool under his talons. It would be so easy. Elias's body was so frail. His veins stood out against his pallid neck. A little bit of pressure, and Elias would be dead.
Well, that is quite disappointing. Clyde, take them away. There's much work to be done for the ritual.
I got a question for you.
You may ask.
How did you know we were coming for you?
I had an unexpected guest come by and tell me your little plan out of professional courtesy. Rufus, get the sister's cross for me.
Rufus yanked Schultz's cross off her neck and handed it to Elias. The old man held the cross by its chain and stared at it for a moment with an expression of disgusted fascination, as one would look at a dead dog on the side of the road.
Fascinating. Throw it in the swamp, Rufus. Her rosary, too.
Yes, sir.
So, Ezra, this visitor told me you were coming. Told me you were going to trick me by telling me this cross is more than the worthless bauble it is. And then try to steal the celestial resonator from me.
Asmodeus, that double-crossing?
Yes, Asmodeus. It seems he made quite a bet on you. He knew a black-hearted murderer like you wouldn't stay on the run without spilling some blood. It seems he was wrong. So now he's bet on another one with the will to do what's necessary.
And who might that be?
Why, me, of course. Now, Clyde, Rufus, take Ezra and get him comfortable. I'll come and get you when we're ready for them.
Yes, sir.
Clyde and Rufus had been softening up Ezra for about an hour, and he had just lost consciousness for a few merciful moments when he was rudely awakened by a bucket of cold water. He was chained to a chair, and he could feel the cold iron digging into his arm as he struggled weakly. They were in a large trophy room, a tarp spread out over the floor. The walls were adorned with gator heads, and much stranger creatures, the likes of which neither of them had seen. Schultz was on the other side of the room, her eyes glazed over.
Wakey wakey, Mr. Gray. We ain't done with you yet.
Not by a long shot.
Why are you doing this?
'Cause Father told us to.
Ezra saw in his periphery that Schultz was moving around, trying to get out of the chains. He knew he needed to keep them talking.
And you always listen to him, I figure. Think he's always got what's best for you in mind.
Of course he does. We're his sons. If he were ever to, then the whole household will be ours. He ain't going nowhere, so stop your yapping.
All I'm saying is, Do you really understand what you're bringing into this world? This demon, Asmodeus. He's a trickster. He wouldn't have made a deal if your pa wasn't getting the short end of the stick.
Well, you're just...
We know exactly what we're doing, Mr. Gray. Father knows Asmodeus is a dirty, no good double dealer, but he also knows this is his ticket to power. And that means the Craik family comes to power, too.
Even though he sends you two to do his dirty work. I see why he wanted you to beat me black and blue. Because he knows his sons are a bunch of stupid rednecks.
Hey, you shut your mouth.
Whoa now, brother. This one's tricky. He actually wants us to kill him. So Father won't be able to summon Asmodeus. Oh, Mr. Gray, you yellow-bellied coward. We won't kill you, but we will hurt you. Don't you worry about that.
Ezra's body was beaten and broken, but he still needed to give Schultz more time.
I've been beat up more times than you can count. You think you're so high and mighty because your daddy's going to summon the devil? Well, I know people like him. The minute he gets himself some real power, he's going to forget all about you. Hell, you think he gives a shit about any of you? You're just a means to an end for him.
I think I'd like to start with that silver tongue of yours. This here gator knife's been at my side since I was knee-high to an ant. Think we should test how sharp it is, brother?
You bet, Rufus. Let me fetch mine, too. Then we can... Hey, what are you doing up?
As Clyde turned, Sister Schultz smashed her elbow into his face. Clyde crumpled to the ground. Rufus turned, saw her, and slashed twice at her, cutting deep into her arms. Ezra rose from the chair, ignoring the searing pain from the chains, and threw himself at Rufus. The two fell to the ground in a heap. Rufus flailed with his knife, trying to pull himself out from under Ezra, who ended the fight quickly by smashing his forehead into Rufus's. Rufus and Clyde lie sprawled on the ground, unconscious.
God, that hurt. Help. Help me out of these chains.
There, I knew the lunkheads would buy the act. They haven't dealt with anyone like me. You must appear weak when you're strong, and strong when you're weak.
Thanks. More biblical wisdom.
Sun Tzu, actually. Can you tie a tourniquet?
Yeah, I can. Let me use your sleeve.
As he cut her sleeves, Ezra saw her wounds. They were deep, almost to the bone, and her arm was covered with blood. He quickly tied the knot. She flexed her hand and nodded in approval.
That'll hold till we get back to the steamboat. Don't know how we're going to find our way back, but we'll figure that out once we leave.
Bloodied but determined, Ezra and Sister Schultz walked quietly through the hallway, leaving Rufus and Clyde behind. Ezra, beaten bloody in addition to being shot, looked around in desperation. They had been led through the labyrinthine house, but had no way of being certain they were going the right way. Every hallway looked the same.
I think we took a left up here? Shoot. Or was it back at the other hallway?
No, we definitely took a right by the kitchen.
All right, if you're sure, we'll go your way. But they might check on the two of them back there for too long.
I know. Just let's go this way. I'm pretty sure we took a right.
They walked through the quiet house, uncertain of the path to the boat. They passed over a covered walkway that separated the two halves of the manor, and Ezra saw flickering torchlight in the distance. His heart fell when he saw what the Craigs had prepared for them in their courtyard.
That's for me. I think that's how they're going to get the devil out of me.
Sister Schultz crossed herself, seeing the horrible blasphemy of the Craigs' ritual circle. Several members of Elias's brood were painting complex designs with their hands, blood up to their elbows, while one sacrificed chickens, bleeding them out into buckets. A figure wearing a horned crown stood in the middle of the circle, chanting aloud. They could faintly hear the words of evil from where they stood.
Fuck this. Let's keep moving. I ain't sticking around for this hell raising.
But Ezra, without the resonator, you'll still be cursed. You'll still have your arm.
Ezra glanced down at his corrupted arm, the black hide stretched over his shoulder, tendrils reaching towards his chest.
I know. But we'll leave here alive. This curse of mine, it won't get any worse if I don't kill. I can keep the devil in stalemate for, well, as long as I live, if I need to. He expected me to kill with impunity, And a few months ago, I would have given him what he wanted. But now, I just want to get you out of here safe.
Ezra.
Well, isn't that sweet? Boys, you know what to do.
Neither heard Elias Crake until he was a few feet away from them. He was flanked by two of his brood. One of them grabbed Sister Schultz and held a gun to her forehead.
I shouldn't need to explain what happens if you try to run away again. If you want her to have a possibility of leaving here alive, come along and be a good dog.
Ezra, save yourself. He'll kill me no matter what.
No! Let her go!
Bo, blow the nun's head off.
I said no. I'll come with you. Just don't hurt her.
Stand down. Harlan, go fetch my two idiot sons. Damn fools don't have a whole brain betwixt them.
Harlan left while Bo walked Schultz, gun held at the back of her head. Ezra walked along to what surely would be his doom. Ezra and Schultz were led outside, where they saw the ritual was complete. Complex runes written in blood covered the whole courtyard. Schultz gasped audibly because she had never witnessed such blasphemy up close. Ezra flexed his claws, his teeth clenched. He was led into one of the two massive circles, and across from him, Elias Crake. He stared down the elder Crake, who favored him with a grin.
Well, my boy, this is what it has come to. Just know that I will use the demon Asmodeus to his full potential. We Crakes are not ones to squander gifts.
Ezra charged at Elias. As soon as he reached the border of the ritual circle, his body was forced back, a terrible arcane fire pouring through his body.
Kill you!
You had your chance. Save yourself the pain and accept your fate, Ezra Gray. Take comfort in this. You will not live to see the world Asmodeus and I will shape in our own image. I intend to give you and the nun a merciful death after the ritual is complete. After all, you've brought this gift right to our doorstep.
I knew you for a liar, Elias. But it's me you want. Let her go.
Did you really think I'd let her go? After all she's seen. After all she's done.
God will strike you down, Elias.
Ha! Oh, she speaks. What's that about God, sister? The same God that led you here? In whose name you slaughtered countless creatures?
I know my actions are pure. Heaven has a place for me.
And what do you know of heaven? Does His Holy Highness come down off His pearly throne for tea time? Unlike you, I have spoken to my master, the Prince of Darkness. He offers real, tangible power, something your lord cannot.
He offers me redemption and the cleansing of my soul. If we die today, I know it's with righteousness.
Certainly. Bo, bring me the resonator. It's time to begin.
Bo walked into the circle, careful not to disrupt the bloody patterns, and pulled a small metal object out of her lacquered box and placed it in Elias's gnarled hand. Ezra thought it looked like a tuning fork.
Now watch, my children, as we ascend to godhood. I will become the ultimate blasphemy. One who is both mortal and demon. And together, our family shall take dominion over the earth. No more hiding in the swamps. We shall take these United States with blood and fire.
As the Crake clan cheered for their inevitable victory, the shimmering form of Asmodeus appeared, dressed in his paisley vest. Hear, hear. Now, my friend, let us begin what is sure to be a beautiful partnership.
He's trying to trick you. Someone like Asmodeus, he's always got the upper hand. You're a fool if you believe him.
No, my boy. You are a fool for not accepting what was offered to you.
Just a bit more bloodshed and we would have ruled this world together. It wouldn't have been so hard for you.
Damn you both.
We already are. Unlike you, we accept it.
Start the ritual, Craig. Someone's coming.
Very well.
The pure tone of the celestial resonator shook Ezra to his very soul. He could barely open his eyes through the pain, tenfold worse than the cold iron chains which held him, as the corruption peeled away from his arm, slinking off his body. As the last of it ripped itself from his chest, Ezra fell to the ground, heaving. Schultz looked on in horror as the demonic growth slinked its way towards the old man.
Yes, yes. Come to me, my infernal master. Bring me that which I have earned.
Within moments, the corruption latched onto Elias's leg and crawled up his body. Slowly, Elias began to transform, the Icarus blood of Asmodeus solidifying into a terrible new form. Elias rose from his wheelchair for the first time in decades, extending the claws which formed on his hands. The rest of the Craig family began looking around as they heard hooves echoing inside the house.
This is truly what I am meant to be. What are you all looking at?
Father, there's someone inside.
Rufus's head burst, leaving a waggling tongue protruding from his head. He took a few confused steps before he fell to the ground. Four undead horsemen, each bearing the marks of their deaths, rode into the courtyard. At their lead was Gentleman Davis, brandishing a smoking revolver which glowed with green flames.
You killed my brother, you son of a bitch! Die!
Gentleman Davis observed the smoking bodies of the two brothers with cold disinterest, then turned to address the courtyard.
I'm here for Ezra Gray. I am owed.
Well, who in Sam Hill are you?
I was once known as Gentleman Davis, but now I live only for the vengeance I am owed. Surrender, Ezra Gray, or you and yours will die.
Screw your vengeance.
As you wish.
In unison, Davis and the other three Pale Riders trained their revolvers on Elias Craig, whose transformation was nearly complete. The ichor moved up his chest and over his neck. We have what we need. Give him Ezra. Let him finish his mortal task. I know of the Pale Riders. We aren't strong enough to face them. My essence needs more time to settle.
I'll tell you what we're gonna do, demon. Krakes, aim!
The 30 members of the Krake clan crowded around the circle, all aimed at the Pale Riders, whose aim didn't waver.
You fool, they'll kill us both!
Fire!
The Krake clan unloaded. Ezra, unable to move from the circle, hit the floor. Schultz broke away from her captors and did the same, shielding her ears against the deafening barrage of gunfire. The Pale Riders were shot to pieces, their pallid flesh riddled with bullets and buckshot. One of the rounds ricocheted off of a wall and hit Ezra in the stomach. He grunted in pain, but did not move from his spot as the air filled with bullets.
What are you?
The riders reformed themselves from the onslaught quickly, their ancient bones crackling. Davis wore a wide grin across his face as his neck snapped back into place.
You don't know who you're messing with. My vengeance is eternal, but it can wait a spell. Ezra, you just sit tight for a minute.
The Pale Riders stampeded across the courtyard, firing at the cranks. Those who were shot down where they stood fled into the house. Gentleman Davis himself bolted right down the middle of the ritual circle, interrupting it. Just as the ichor was wrapping itself around Elias's head, the transformation stopped. Elias stood his ground while Davis bore down on him. Ezra rolled to the side just as Davis thundered over him.
You can't stop me. I have the power of Asmodeus on my side.
The devil himself couldn't stop me, old man.
Elias turned at the last moment and cut Davis's horse out from under him, razor-sharp claws tearing through undead flesh. Davis fell to the ground, and Elias tackled him, ripping at his flesh.
Why won't you die already?
Ugh, I could ask you the same.
Davis shoved Elias off of him and calmly got to his feet. Elias, the ichor closing over his face, was indignant. Davis drew his gun, wreathed in flickering green flames.
Go ahead, Pale Rider. See what your bullets can do against immortal flesh. I'd like to see it myself.
I told you, he's not here for you.
You should have listened to the demon, old man. End of the line.
Just before the ichor closed around Elias's head, Davis shot him right through his forehead. Elias stumbled around for a moment, confused.
You shot me.
As Elias expired with a whimper and a shudder, the ichor sloughed off his body, clay-like, and formed a rough human outline. Davis watched as a child watches a moth in a jar.
I had everything and you ruined it! Who are you that would meddle in the plans of devils?
Gentleman Davis, pleased to meet you, demon. You were in my way. Nothing personal.
No! No! Ah!
Asmodeus was forced back to hell, the ragged vestiges of his mortal form utterly depleted. Hellfire covered the tar-like substance of his body, and he was soon undone. Davis turned and faced Ezra, who stood with his gun in his hand, clutching his bleeding stomach.
Hello, Ezra.
As Gentleman Davis thundered down towards Elias Crake, Sister Schultz was in the fight of her life. The Pale Riders gunned down the fleeing Crakes, who poured into the manor, clambering over their fallen brothers. Sister Schultz herself crouched down behind a pile of bodies, forgotten in the bloody slaughter, herself unarmed but for her holy trinkets. She reached inside her sleeve to a hidden pocket and pulled something out.
Dear Lord, I hope this works.
As two of the Crakes scrambled into the house, two of the riders pursued, shrieking with unearthly voices. The last stayed behind, surveying the carnage. A noose coiled tightly around his neck, and a hangman's mask covered his head. He suddenly turned towards Schultz and dismounted, pointing his revolver at her.
You, I have heard of you none. Your deeds are legendary, even in hell.
Then you'll know bigger threats than you have tried to kill me and lost.
Stand and die.
Not today.
What have you done to me?
That's holy water blessed by Pope Leo XIII, and there's more where that came from.
Schultz threw another vial of holy water against the chest of the Pale Rider, and it ate away at its desiccated flesh like acid. He ineffectually fired shots into the air as he fell to the ground, flesh sloughing off his bones.
I cast you back where you came from, demon. Tell your masters they shall not kill me today.
Schultz pressed her hand against the forehead of the Pale Rider, and both he and his undead horse collapsed into dust. Schultz rolled up her sleeves and examined her wounds. Though the gashes in her arms bled freely, there was business to take care of first. She entered the house and witnessed the slaughter continue. One of the Pale Riders rode down a crake as the other rider fired his flaming revolver into the guts of a second. The air was thick with the smell of blood and fear. The groans of the dying echoed throughout the great hall. The riders reloaded, spider-like hands rapidly loading fresh rounds to finish off the dying. Schultz grabbed a shotgun off the floor and fired into the air. Everyone turned their heads towards her.
Prepare for absolution!
You dare challenge us, none.
None have faced us and lived. You are no different, woman.
I may be mortal, but the Lord is on my side today. Now, face me, demons.
With pleasure. Come, brother.
The riders rode towards her, cackling, and Schultz leapt over a table, pushing it over for cover. The riders fired, flaming bullets threatening to destroy it. She pulled another vial of holy water from her sleeve and lobbed it over the table like a grenade, soaking the carpet. The horses stepped in the holy water, causing them to dissolve, and the riders were thrown off.
We are as inevitable as death.
Oh, please, you're just a hopped-up revenant. You're powerless against the Lord.
It is no matter. You're only mortal. You are insignificant, and your Lord, absent. Your faith will not shield you from our lead.
As Schultz rose to lob her last vial, a flaming round passed through her chest. The vial shattered on the floor as she fell to the ground. The riders glanced at each other and carefully stepped around the holy water on the carpet.
Only mortal.
Except that you have done all you can against us.
Jesus, that hurts. Just give me a clean death. That's all I ask.
Why?
Haven't I earned it?
That is your final wish?
Very well.
The two riders walked towards Schultz, guns drawn. Schultz let go of her chest wound, the skin tender, and slowly, painfully, got to her knees. One of the riders, guts hanging from a wound in his belly, held a gun against her head, while the other, an emaciated skeleton, watched.
Do you have any final words? None. You have no weapons against us, only prayer.
Yes, I do.
Speak them now.
Hail Mary, full of grace.
It was a gamble. She knew her powers flowed through her without a rosary and cross, but she had yet to use them in a life-or-death situation. However, she felt peace wash over her in a gentle wave, and she knew the Lord was still with her. She grabbed the Pale Rider's gun arm with her left hand, and it started to glow with holy light. The Rider's arm disintegrated into dust in moments.
Your time on this earth has ended. Pray for forgiveness.
Schultz grabbed the rider, using him as a shield while the emaciated one shot at her. His body quickly fell to pieces, turning to dust beneath her grasp as the other rider filled him with lead.
I counted 6 shots. You're empty. And not enough time to reload.
Schultz vanquished the last Pale Rider, and as his desiccated form turned to dust, the adrenaline wore off, and she realized she had been shot. Schultz collapsed to the floor, her white collar quickly turning red. Ezra's tattered shirt blossomed with blood, his stomach bleeding freely. He felt a sickening wave of nausea as he looked down at it. Gentleman Davis stood across the courtyard.
Well, I must say that this is very disappointing. We're at the last showdown, and you've already got a hole in you. I was hoping to do that myself. But you work with what you've got. Tell me this, Ezra. Why did you betray me?
Because I was tired of the life, Davis. Tired of all the killing, all the stealing. Tired of seeing my face on wanted posters up next to yours.
Men like us don't live forever. But better to die from a lawman's gun than from one of your own. I thought we were a family.
I looked up to you, you know. I did everything you asked. And what did I get for it? Hunted everywhere I went. Unsure each day if it would be my last. I didn't want that life anymore. For a while, you were my family, but family don't go treating each other like you do. You should have let me run, Davis.
You were always like a son to me. I taught you everything, and you betrayed me by stealing out from under me? You betrayed my family!
If that's what you call family, then I don't want any part of it.
Oh, Ezra. You never could shoot worth a damn. You've got 5 shots.
Damn it!
This is just too easy.
Before Ezra could move, Gentleman Davis shot him twice in the knees. Ezra fell. Davis strode over, holding his gun loosely at his side. He stood over Ezra and dug his heel into Ezra's stomach wound.
You goddamn sadist, just get it over with.
I don't think I will. You see, Ezra, the Pale Riders have given me a chance at vengeance. I'm going to take my sweet time. Besides, I still have 4 more rounds.
I may not shoot for shit, but I can sure hand out a beating.
Impossible! The Krakes could not harm me. How can you?
I guess since I'm the one that killed you in the first place, figures I can do it again a second time.
Davis dashed the gun from Ezra's hands, and the two fought wordlessly for a time, fists making wet sounds on flesh. They rolled around in pools of blood, locked in mortal struggle. Though Ezra fought desperately, his strength was already failing him, and soon Davis was atop him, his dead gray hands locked around Ezra's throat.
Fucking die!
As Ezra's head slammed into the deck of the courtyard, Davis could see the light fading from his eyes. After a while, he let Ezra fall limply to the ground. It was done. Ezra was dead.
Well, Ezra, I can't say it was a pleasure. You betrayed me and killed me. I would have let you be my right-hand man, damn it. You were always my favorite. No matter how bad I treated you, no matter now, you're dead and I'm still here. Happy trails.
As Gentleman Davis rode off, heedless of his fellow riders, only silence was left in his wake. The broken bodies of the Krakes lay in testament to the massacre. The courtyard was an abattoir, blood pooling in places. Ezra lay limp as a rag doll, his body full of holes. For a while, there was nothing. Sister Schultz's eyes popped open. Her first breath was the most painful experience of her life. She gingerly felt her wound and knew it must have passed near her lung. She tried to stand, but found she was unable to.
Come on, this isn't over yet.
With great deliberation, her teeth grinding, she flipped onto her stomach and crawled. She surveyed the room, finding only death, bodies piled high around her. Though the scene was grim, it gave her satisfaction to see a pile of dust where the final Pale Riders stood. She had done her job.
Got to find Ezra.
She pulled herself forward, each movement agony. Outside, the scene of the carnage continued. Silence filled the air. Halfway across the courtyard, Ezra lay in a pool of his own blood.
Ezra!
Ignoring the wheezing in her lungs and the alarming amount of blood trailing behind her, she trudged towards him. But it was too late. His eyes stared, unfocused. He was as dead as the rest of them.
You can't be dead, Ezra. We fought hard and beat the devil at his own game. Well, I'm dying too, damn it. You won't forgive me for what I'm about to do, but I hope you understand. The world needs hope.
She laid her hands on him, and they glowed with holy power. Sister Schultz closed her eyes as the power of God flowed through her one last time, and she smiled. Schultz fell to the ground and breathed her last. Then Ezra opened his eyes.
No! What happened? I'm alive?
He felt where Gentleman Davis's hands had strangled him, but he felt fine. He looked down and saw Sister Schultz at his feet, dead.
Sister, no! Sister, you didn't have to. Why would you? How could you let me live? We won, damn it! We won! I get it. Christian mercy. I didn't figure I'd come around to your way of thinking, being the man that I am. But I see now. You gave the rest of yourself so I could live. Well, let's make this life, whatever's left of it, worth living.
Ezra picked up her body and slowly brought it through Craik Manor, tears falling from his eyes. As he loaded her onto the steamboat and departed the accursed Craik Manor, he thought of the journey that led to their Ferric victory. Though Asmodeus was defeated, his soul sent back to hell, Ezra had lost the only person who had ever given him hope. Hope for redemption he never knew he needed. Thanks for listening to Pit of the West. Featured in this episode are the voices of Patrick Kilday, Billy Norris, Matt McCann, Jason Limerick, Kevin Moore, Dane White, Bill Adams, and Tanner Adams. Special thanks to Alex Wink for the intro and outro music, Ariel Perez for cover art, and John Harbaugh for additional firearm sound effects.
Hey, this is V from Pit of the West. We're at Pit of the West on Twitter, and thanks for listening to us and joining us on this journey. Hope you catch us on this next project, whatever that may be.
Edward Jung was closing for the night, dusting his shelves of rare books. As he teetered perilously on a ladder, trying to reach the top shelf, he heard a knock at the door.
Who the hell is that? Always when I'm closing, I never have any customers until I'm almost locked up for the day. Such rudeness. What do you want? We're just closing, so look quick. Oh, it's you.
Ezra Gray stood in his doorway. Edward's eyes flickered over his face. It seemed the young man had changed since last he saw him.
Edward, good to see you.
And you, young man. So you return. Miss Schultz.
Nah. She didn't make it. I was the only survivor. But Asmodeus is gone for now.
And the Craiks?
Ezra looked at Edward and nodded once.
Well, that is certainly a relief. The world will be much safer without them in it. I'm sorry to hear about Sister... about Mary. She was a true friend and ally to me for many years. As sad as I am to hear of her passing, I know this is what she would have wanted. To know that evil was scourged from the earth.
Yeah, she would have been okay with it, I think.
Of course. Thank you for letting me know. So what will you do now?
I've been giving that some thought, actually. I wasn't a good man. I've done terrible things, Edward. But working with Schultz, fighting against evil, it was terrifying, but it felt right, you know? Like what I'm meant to do. So I came here to ask for your help. I want to carry on her fight. I need you to teach me everything.
Edward regarded the young man for a moment, then cracked a wry grin.
Come in! I'll make us some tea!